BootlaNetwork.com, episode 188. Being unintentional, well, it just leads to unintentional failure. We're going to talk about that next. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at BootlaNetwork.com. We're all about getting new customers, serving customers better, and not going crazy in the process. The last one is admittedly, well, it may be tougher than the other two put together. Yeah, but not necessarily. Hey, so the guy says, I thought we'd sign up more people. And that was followed by a haphazard, ill-planned, and probably even more ill-planned execution of a marketing effort that frankly just left him, I won't say despondent, but certainly depressed. Understandably so. Hundreds of dollars had been spent in a direct mail campaign that didn't make him a big spender. I realize that there are people that spend thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars in direct mail campaigns, but this was a single campaign. And in terms of dollars, it was significant for him because it was over $500. And for a solopreneur, anything over $500 is something that people are going to give some thought to. It's not just like some impulse buy. Not something that you're going to just do flippantly, I don't think, most of us. Now, unfortunately, he didn't spend a single hour of effort. There's the problem. I mean to tell you that he's not throwing money at the problem. You know, lots of people do that. There are a lot of people that are willing to write a check. You mean I can write a check and I don't have to do anything? Hey, here's the check. It wasn't that at all. He wasn't throwing money at the problem, and he wasn't thinking that he'd simply write a check and everything would be right with the world. It would just be instant success simply because he wrote a check. He's not that naive. He was perhaps given to the false notion of build it and they will come. We've all done that. You know, we've not given enough thought to our offer. Maybe, but we have succumbed to the idea. Yeah, but people are going to want this. People are going to want this. When in reality, nobody wanted it. Other times, the offer may have been fine. And maybe the execution was even pretty strong. But timing was all wrong. I'm reminded, I mean, through the years, especially in the last decade, I have seen countless stories of internet marketers in particular who launched and forgot it was a national holiday where a lot of people might be traveling and away from their computer. And yeah, okay, bad timing. Now, these are just stupid marketing mistakes, and they're stupid mistakes that most of us, with any experience of all, we have made at one time or another. Both my hands are in the air. I've pulled plenty of dumb stunts. Now, sadly, these are not the issues that plagued our gentleman, at least not this time. It was something a lot more sinister than that, because it was entirely his fault, period. He simply had not paid enough attention to the effort. Well, that's not even entirely true. He had given a lot of effort and a lot of thought to the delivery of the offer. I would even go so far as to say he had even given some thought to the offer itself, but he simply hadn't spent any time at all on filling the room. And if the room is empty, it doesn't matter how prepared you are. You can have done fantastic work in preparing the presentation for the room. But if there's nobody in the room, does it matter? If people don't buy, do we really care about the quality of the product or the service or the presentation or the fill in the blank? No, because it doesn't matter. You know, it's that tree falling in a forest when nobody is there to listen quandary. It just doesn't matter how big a thud the tree makes because there's nobody there to hear it. And so what difference does it make? What does it matter? It doesn't matter at all. The fact is, he wasn't aiming for success, but he was expecting to experience success. And it's that natural law that God put into place. Galatians 6 and 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." The atheist and the agnostic understand that you reap what you sow. Not what you expect, not what you hope for, not what you feel like you deserve, not what you think you need, what you sow. Now, last time I looked, and I have zero farming experience. My gardening experience is just slightly more than my farming experience. I mean, I've gone and walked through grandparents' gardens, I mean, big gardens. And I know enough about it to know that sowing involves work. In fact, I'll go you one better. Gardening and farming, sowing involve hard work. It involves doing something. It involves going out into the field. It involves preparing the field for seed. In the days of my youth, this did not mean a power tiller. This meant a hoe that you held in your hand. This meant a shovel that you dug into the earth to break the ground up. And today, even with a power tiller, not the easiest machines in the world to operate. So first, you got to get the ground ready for the seed. You got to break up this hard ground. And then you have to sow the seed. And that's followed by, well, cultivating the seed. Hours and hours of weeding and fending off pests and doing everything possible to help that seed grow. Hours, days, if you're a farmer, well, even if you're a serious gardener, weeks of hard work. All so that you can get a harvest. And even then, I mean, even then you need Mother Nature to cooperate. Even then you need proper sunshine and rain and hopefully no early frost and things of that nature. Patience. Patience. It's a virtue that's missing in lots and lots of business plans. And I don't mean those formal business plans. I mean those daily business plans. I mean the things that we plan when it comes to the objectives that we have in our business enterprises. Patience. Because, well, you're probably like me. I mean, aren't we all? We want to sling that seed without a whole lot of thought, and we want a bountiful harvest. Just strap on a bag of seed and turn me loose. You know, the world is my oyster, and I will have great success, a bountiful harvest. Well, because that's what I want, and because it's what I need. Well, wake up, Mr. Seed Slinger. It doesn't work that way. But you know what it is, in part. And I think this is a huge component, by the way. We love outlier stories. We love them. We love stories of blind pigs finding truffles and blind squirrels finding acorns and broken clocks being right twice a day. And we love those stories. And those stories, by the way, fill popular business culture to the brim. In fact, we're overflowing with stories like that. it's pointless to doubt those stories. It's pointless to doubt the validity of the stories. Let's assume that they are all 100% correct. They're not, but assume they are. Because it's pointless to spend your time trying to replicate the outlier. I'll go so far as to tell you, I think it's pointless to even listen to the details. I mean, come on. Can I really closely examine, and could I have high def, slow motion video of the hack golfer who goes out and happens to hit a hole in one? And should I spend my time closely studying the shot in hopes that if I do what he did, because this is really popular NLP kind of stuff, modeling and all that, you know, it's the Tony Robbins. Find someone who's doing it and do exactly what they do, and you will get the same result. No, you won't. It's an absolute lie. It's a farce. I can closely examine the hobby golfer, the hack golfer, who hits a hole in one. I can slow it all down. I can frame by frame it. I can get a coach and say, I want you to make me do just what you see him do. And it doesn't mean I'm going to be able to hit a hole in one. I mean, the guy himself who hit the hole in one, he may go the rest of his life playing 3 rounds of golf a week and never replicate that same success. Because some things simply happen. Like the blind pig and the blind squirrel or the broken clock. Listen, to be sure, the golfer who hits a hole in one likely has some ability to play golf. I mean, it does depend on the distance to the hole. You take a guy like me. I cannot hit a golf ball. I've played golf 3 times in my entire life. Poorly, by the way, all 3. Now, you could put a driver in my hand, and to hit a ball off a tee, worm burner is the phrase that comes to mind. You know, I'm the guy that I can hit it, man. I can hit it a good strong 30 yards on the ground. I mean, it just rolls, you know, no air, no lift, no nothing. So a guy like me, there's no chance. I mean, I'm worse than the blind pig. I mean, I'm the blind paralytic pig when it comes to being an outlier to hit a hole in one, because I can't even hit a golf ball. So you do have to have the ability to hit the golf ball. I mean, otherwise you got no shot. But the world's greatest golfers aren't likely going to have any better odds over the average player. Well, except for the fact that they're playing golf more often, and it's, you know, statistical odds are the more golf you play, the more times you tee up, the greater the chances are you're going to hit one eventually. You know, but is that much different? Is that really much better than hope as a strategy? And we all know that hope is a really poor strategy. But so is trying to replicate an outlier. Now, I'm not accusing our poor fellow of trying to replicate an outlier. I'm mixing 2 things here, and I'm doing it intentionally. It just doesn't matter how prepared you are if the room is empty. It doesn't matter if you spend your time crafting the world's greatest presentation. You get your slide deck just honed ever so perfectly. You have practiced and you have recited this presentation. It is perfectly memorized, and no one will ever sense that it is memorized. And the content is compelling, and it is terrific, and it is wonderful. And we have fallen in love with this false notion that content is king, and you believe that yours is. Yours is king and queen both. That's great. It's wonderful. But if the room's empty, it doesn't matter. If nobody shows up, if nobody listens, it doesn't matter. You know that's true. My point today, well, okay, it's twofold. One is and I know that you hate it, especially those of you that just think that selling is just, you know, anathema. You must be good at your craft. I'm not saying that. The guy has got to be able to hit a ball off of a tee and do it reasonably well, even if he's a hack. He's got to be better than me, for instance, to give himself any shot. But when it comes to our business endeavors and our marketing, there is the thing that we do. There is the service that we offer. There is the product that we sell. There is the thing that we do. The value exchange that we make with people, the thing that we provide to them. We can spend all of our time focused on that. And so many people, unfortunately, don't even do that. But we also must spend time in finding people who will give us money for this thing. I was listening to the radio this morning. Of course, I'm here in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, and there is Jerry Jones bought this new piece of art. It's got some kind of a name. One of the radio guys here in Dallas called it, what did he call it? Looked like a big rear view mirror, I think is what he called it or something. It's this big round, I guess it's glass. I don't know. It's either that or it's really polished, you know, highly polished thing. And it will reflect obviously whatever it's aimed at. And they showed, and it was pretty cool. They showed it being aimed at the sky. And of course you could see clouds and, anyway, it's outside of, well, what is now AT&T Stadium, previously called the Death Star by some of us around here and Jerry Jones world, but it's the Cowboys Stadium. And they were saying today that the fellow that did this is some famous artist who was born in Dubai or someplace and now lives in London. I can't. You know, it's a foreign sounding name. I don't remember the name. The piece of art was $10 million, $10 or $12 million. You know, what's $2 million when you're talking double digits? The installation was $4 million. And I was thinking about that as I was thinking about today's show, and I knew what I was going to record today. And I was thinking, okay, do you sit down and you just think about your craft and you think about, I'm just going to create the very best art and then, you know, somebody's bound to want it. Somebody's bound to want to buy it. I mean, I guess you could do that. Now, I don't know how this cat got started, but he's got some works around the country. They were rattling off a few different places. And of course, you know, I'm thinking the same thing that you're probably thinking. I'm thinking, well, I'm in the wrong business. You know, there just doesn't seem anything terribly artistic about this thing. It's certainly not for, and of course, one of the sports guys this morning was saying, you realize that around the stadium, on the stadium property during Sunday's game, which Dallas, by the way, won against Washington, that I think they said not only Tony Romo made as much money as the artist made, at least this year, in selling that piece of art. But here was my thought. Some people do take real great pride in the craft, whatever the craft is. Doesn't matter what it is. Pick something. And very meticulous. And there's little doubt that world-class craftsmanship can be in demand. But I suspect that there are probably craftsmen all over the globe who are making some world-class stuff. I don't care if it's, I was reading about a $400 knife. They're going to make 1,000 of these. You know, it's one of those things that you see over at uncrate.com. You ever go there? I mean, you just go there and you just drool over some of the stuff. And some knife, I don't think it was a fixed blade knife. I think it was a folding blade knife. $400. They're going to make 1,000 of these. And the workmanship was just, you know, pretty spectacular. But I'm thinking, is there nobody, I mean, is that the best knife? Is that, I mean, a $400, somebody somewhere is probably building or crafting a better knife. But, you know, this one's, you know, front and center on Uncrate.com. And no doubt they're going to sell all 1,000. Probably could sell 2,000. Because we just can't give all of our attention to the craft and no attention to trying to find people willing to buy the craft. And I think conversely, there are people who they could care less about the craft, you know, so I have to admit, and I don't think I've admitted this before, but there is a domain name that I own. Are you ready? I know I've never done anything with it and probably won't. Stop selling crap. StopSellingCrap.com. I don't know. Hey, I've got another one, by the way, too. SurroundedByNinnies.com. Insight as to how my brain works. Stop selling crap. But I think it's good advice. I really do, don't you? I mean, and there are people that are selling crap. I mean, come on, we got the State Fair of Texas happening right now. All you got to do is walk up and down that midway and you see the prizes and you see how much people are having to pay to, you know, throw balls at bottles and toss coins on plates. And, you know, a guy spends $50 and gets some $2 stuffed animal, you know, that was made in Korea or Taiwan. You know, I'm sorry that people spend so much time and so much effort, those people that do spend the time and the effort on the presentation, only to realize that the date now comes for the performance and nobody shows up. And I know there's countless stories of musicians and singer-songwriters who show up on open mic nights and they're just, you know, they're honing their craft and they're trying to get in front of people. And I had somebody a good long time ago try to make that comparison to this topic and this conversation, this argument. And I said, it's not the same. They're kind of multitasking. The guy or the gal at open mic night is honing their craft. They're playing in front of people. They're getting practice in a live setting to play in front of people other than their family and their friends. And they're doing this. They're making this investment of their time and their effort and their energy. And no, they're not being paid for it. Rather, they are paying the price for it. But if you go back and listen to episode 187, I think it's much more reflective of the topic of that episode of talking of apprenticeship and talking of investing in yourself and learning your craft and paying your dues and showing a high degree of willingness to put yourself out there and trying hard to get better. That's very different. That's not this. That's not spending, you know, $500 to $1,000 to send out some direct mail campaign to put physical people in a room only to have virtually no one respond positively. And meanwhile, you've just gone about your business without any real thought, without any real consideration to getting butts in seats. Now, I mentioned Jerry Jones, and of course, around here, well, Cowboy fans all over the country, I guess, are rather put out by the quality of football played by this team over the recent years. And it hasn't been very good. In fact, many, based on expectations, has been downright poor. And yet the Dallas Cowboys continue to be one of, if not the highest valued sports franchise on the planet. How is that possible? I can tell you how it's possible. Because some would argue that what is happening with Jerry Jones and his family management is just the opposite of what I'm talking about. The focus is on butts in the seat. The focus is on revenue. The focus is on sales. The focus is on marketing, less so on the product put on the field. I think that's a valid argument. I'm not saying it's true. I don't know. I don't listen. I know enough about, I'm a football fan and have been all my life. I mean, come on, you can't be from this part of the country and not be enlightened somewhat about the game. But I know enough about it to know this, especially at the professional, at the Division I college level and at the professional level. And if you're in states like Texas, even at the high school level, I know that it's a lot more complicated than armchair quarterbacks think. There's a lot more to it. I mean, you could rattle off a play to a guy like me. I wouldn't have a clue. Is that a run play? I don't know. I wouldn't even know which side of the line the play is going to go to. And yet armchair quarterbacks want to sit back and pontificate all kinds of things. Well, okay, that's what fans do. But there is no doubt that Jerry Jones is a brilliant business guy. Of course, I have heard somebody did say recently, and I thought it was a good point. Come on, he's marketing the Dallas Cowboys. That's very different. That's very different than marketing your business or my business. But even so, I mean, there have been buffoons that have driven down household name brands. So just because you're at the helm of the Dallas Cowboys doesn't mean that, okay, you just hit that easy button and it's all autopilot. It's not. He's done well, but he has focused on filling that stadium. He focused on building a stadium that would be such an experience that people pay to just go see the stadium. And, you know, the sports purist is thinking, we want to see the team. Listen, people go to watch that big screen. And by the way, if you ever come to Dallas and you get the opportunity to take a tour of that stadium, you're crazy if you don't do it. I mean, you're really crazy if you don't do it. It is spectacular. I mean, come on, you got to tip your hat to the guy. Now, we have another little small sports facility out west of town. It's Texas Motor Speedway. It's where the NASCAR races are, and it's where they also do IndyCar races there and some other things. They have now put on order the world's largest big screen. I'm sure Jerry's just real tickled about this. But now, to give you some comparison, Cowboys Stadium, or AT&T Stadium, I'm sorry, houses 100,000 people, slightly more. Standing room only. The raceway out there, I don't know what the capacity of that thing is. 250,000, 200,000, I know for sure. So you're talking twice the crowd when they've got the crowd, and they get the crowd. I think they said, could it possibly be? I mean, it was like a 200-yard, I can't remember how many millions of dollars that the screen is going to be out there. Now, it's product on one hand, and it's an offering on one hand, but it's so compelling. It really impacts the marketing. And so what, in my opinion, Jerry Jones has done, and he's brilliant at it. He's done a great job of marketing. The man knows how to sell, and he knows how to put butts in the seat. Is he better off doing that than focusing on the football? From a business perspective, absolutely. If you are a purist, if you are a sports, if you are a football fan, if you in particular are a Dallas Cowboys football fan, then you're going to say, well, you don't care. You don't care how much money he makes. You don't care how profitable the Dallas Cowboys are. You want a good team. You want to win a Super Bowl. I understand. But as a business guy, you can't take issue with Jerry Jones. You can't take issue with the Dallas Cowboys as a business organization. You can castigate them all day long for the quality of the football that they play, but you can't castigate them for butts in the seat. The room is full. The room is packed. And the room is packed time and time and time and time again. Now, it could be argued, and they have this argument on sports talk radio around here all the time. How long will the fans go? Well, they've gone for over a decade without a Super Bowl. So, okay, there you go. Is content really king? No. No, they hadn't had a Super Bowl here in over a decade. And yet, it still continues to, you know, he continues to pack the stadium. He continues to sell merchandise. He continues to be one of the top grossing franchises, if not the top, in the league. The valuation of the team just continues to go up and up and up. I mean, come on, the guy markets, if you lived around here, that you would know, the guy markets spring camp. I mean, he's gone out to California. He's gone to San Antonio. He's gone to Wichita Falls in the past. He's gone to various places, and people have paid for him to bring the team for as short a period as 2 weeks, in some cases for the duration of the camp. I mean, the guy has got people lined up wanting to do business with him because he's putting effort in the marketing. Throw rocks at him all you want because he's not putting enough effort in the product or the service. But, you know, he's a business guy. He's a business guy. Is that better than having a winning team? And of course, the sports analogy does kind of fall flat a little bit because, let's face it, if you do put a winning product on the field, especially here in Dallas, Texas, Dallas loves a winner. Dallas loves a winner. Until the Texas Rangers began to win, the Texas Rangers had woeful attendance. But they broke through. They got to that next level of excellence in their craft, and they began to put butts in seats. And let me tell you, and it wasn't brilliant marketing, especially before the Nolan Ryan days. The Dallas Stars come to town back umpteen years ago. Dallas, Texas didn't know what hockey was, and they had to market, and they did market, and they did well at their marketing initially, and they put quality product on the ice, and in 99 lifted the trophy, the Stanley Cup, and the crowd changed. Those of us that are hardcore hockey guys, we saw the crowd change. The crowd turned into that corporate crowd. Well, that's where the money's at. You know, the guys like me that are just the hockey guys got priced out of season tickets, and some of the rowdiness that you saw in the old reunion arena days, gone, because couldn't afford the season seats and certainly couldn't afford the luxury suites that are now in American Airlines Arena. It's marketing. You got to have butts in the seats. If you've got a professional team playing a professional sport, if there aren't butts in the seats, you can't keep that team on the field. You can't keep that team on the rink. It's not possible, and it's not possible for you either. It's not possible for you to speak to an empty room and make a go of it. You can't make a living that way. You can't make a living sitting down, whittling your widgets, even if your widgets are created and crafted at world-class standards, if nobody's willing to buy them. You must have a buyer, and it doesn't mean that the buyer has to fork over money. It may be their time and attention that you need. It may be their butt in a seat, in a workshop, or a seminar. But you gotta get that. You've got to make that sale, and if you don't give enough effort to making that sale, it doesn't matter how prepared you are to deliver. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying don't give any attention to the delivery. That's not at all what I'm saying, and you know that. But there are so many people that I seem to be looking at, and some trying to help, that are so unintentional. They are unintentional in trying to get business, and they are so intentional on the business, but not intentional in getting the business. Won't work. Won't work. Heard somebody say, I think just just within the last week or so, and it was on a podcast, and I wish I could remember who, and I would give attribution, but I can't. And the comment was talking particularly about social media campaigns and how someone, you know, they'd hire somebody to do some social media campaign, and then they would try to measure it. And the metrics that they would use would be, you know, leads generated or conversion rates or pick something, whatever. And then they would blame it. They would blame the person doing the social media marketing. And the comment was made, words to the effect, you know, about how really unjust that is when you've not taken ownership of it. So meaning if you, the business owner, have simply written the check and you've tried to get somebody to do your social media marketing and the social media marketing ain't working out so well, and you've not lifted a hand, you've not done one thing other than write the check, and then you want to castigate the poor fella that's trying to help you have some social media marketing presence, but you're not contributing. And it's their fault. And a lot of people do that. A lot of business owners are unintentional in their marketing efforts, and it leads to unintentional failure, and they don't get it because they don't understand that it doesn't matter how prepared you are. If the room is empty. And sadly, there are lots of businesses out there that are trying to sell to an empty room. Well, they're not really trying to sell. They're hoping that an empty room will buy. Let's assume they do. What if the empty room does buy? What have you got? Yeah, an empty room. That's what you've got. You realize that the blind pig who finds the truffle and the blind squirrel that finds the acorn, you realize they're still blind, don't you? And the broken clock that's right twice a day, you understand it's still broken, don't you? Just making a point, kids, just making a point. So be intentional. Aim for success. It's hard work. Come on. Nobody said this was going to be. Well, yeah, a lot of people say this is easy. It's not easy. It ain't easy. There's not one thing easy about it. I told a young man the other day, you know, we were talking about, he was talking about going to school and trying to finish up his degree. And I said, well, what are you going to study? And he said, you know, business. And I said, well, what are you going to do with that? And he said, you know, didn't know. And I said, well, the only advice I'll give you, man, is, you know, find something that you're good at. I said, passion's overrated. You know, I mean, don't. I'm not going to be the voice telling you to go chase your passion. I'm going to be the guy telling you soar with your strengths, find what you're good at and go do it. But know this, even if you like doing it, and even if it is your passion, and even if you're good at it, it's going to be hard work. So prepare to work. You know, I don't know about you, but life is just a grind. And I think there are some times that we just need to get our mind made up that we're going to enjoy the grind, because there's no getting away from it. You might as well like it, and you might as well dig in. You might as well aim for success. Give it all that you got. Try to fill the room. You got to fill the room. I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast. That's what I hope. I'm hoping to fill the room at the podcast. You can do that by going over to iTunes, subscribing to the podcast there. If you don't like that, use Stitcher. If you don't like that, use your favorite RSS reader. All those links are over at the website. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. This is the Yellow Studio.